This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Welcome to Gillette Stadium on this Friday, May 6th. What? I don't know what's going on. I thought Andy always hosted these.
Eric's hosting today.
A passing of the torch?
He did.
So to speak.
Andy's taking his mic off.
Why are you holding your mic in the hand?
Stand-up comedy over here.
This would be awkward if I held it in the football.
Why are you holding it in the hand?
Because I want to sit back and relax and watch the Eric Scalavino show as he hosts this podcast.
So we've already spun off the tracks. But anyway, this is a Roster Report podcast.
Gives a flying bleep. We're in a lockout. There's no roster moves
hey,
to announce.
Hey, quick. Let's get back on track. Let's not vary from the point here.
All right, so we do have roster moves to talk about in some fashion, but we kind of did that the other day on our Draft Prospect Review podcast where we
reviewed.
Thank you.
The prospects that we drafted a week ago. But we're going to spin this forward a little bit.
Especially since by rule, we're not even allowed to sign those guys.
Right, but we're going to spin this forward and look at
what
how...
What are you looking at over there?
The draft right. picks that we did make... could potentially affect how the team goes about free agency if and when that ever comes about because of the lockout. So what we're going to do for the next few weeks is look at go from top to bottom of the draft and look at each position and sort of speculate as to what the team might do now going forward. So we start with the offensive line because Nate Solder, offensive tackle from Colorado, was the first overall pick for New England at 17. They also took another offensive lineman, tackle slash guard Marcus Cannon in the fifth round. So let's talk about how these two guys might affect the situation going forward. At the end of the 2010 season, guys being Paul Perillo, Andy Hart over there, and I'm Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, in case you guys didn't know that by now.
Guys.
They ended the season last year with 9 offensive linemen on the active roster. They had a couple of guys on the practice squad, and now they have these two more in Solder and Cannon. Looking at the free agent list for New England, Matt Light, Logan Mankins, Quinn Ojanaka all were scheduled to be free agents going into this offseason. Mankins has already gotten the franchise tag applied to him if and when the rules for franchise players comes into play. That could have an effect on things. But Light's future in particular seems to be affected by the drafting of Solder overall, that left
tackle.
You're
right, Paul. It was a mistake to let Eric host. Sorry.
I didn't say it.
I'm giving you the Fred look into the camera.
I was thinking it,
I'm
but I didn't
you the Fred
say
look
it.
Into the camera.
So Matt Light, you'd like us to talk about Matt Light?
Yes, let's
I don't want to jump to conclusions here.
Yes, go ahead.
I mean, any conversation about Nate Solder has to start with Matt Light, correct?
Well, I think it can start with Nate Solder, and then it evolves into a Matt-like conversation. But, yeah, Bill anointed Nate Solder a left tackle, and PFW, I think, has anointed him the starting left tackle in all likelihood. I think we've heard different things that depending on how the lockout plays out and whether it's fourth, fifth, sixth-year free agents that hit the market and what the restricted market is and all that, it could kind of affect Matt Light's value on the open market, how many tackles are moving, how many openings there are, blah, blah, blah. I think Matt Light is a Pro Bowl left tackle. That's a fact.
Blah, 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 blah.
No matter what you think of him, his resume says multi-time Pro Bowl left tackle, actually an all-pro left tackle at one point in his career. I think he's going to get some money to play tackle somewhere. I don't think he's going to get that money, that type of a contract in New England. I certainly don't think they're going to get a deal where they can push him inside to guard and it'll be cost effective.
I don't think he would agree to that move.
Right. I think he's played his last, unless he flat out just wants to be a Patriot, Kevin Faulk style, Teddy Bruschi style. I'm just going to stay a Patriot.
Right.
Unless he has that mindset, I think he's played his last game as a Patriot, and Nate Solder, for better or worse, is your starting left tackle.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that the biggest sticking point to me would probably be the term of the contract. I think that Matt Light probably wants to play a couple more years, maybe 3 more years. And I'm fairly certain that the Patriots would have him back for 1 year. And we heard Jonathan Kraft on ESPN Radio last week after they picked Solder, so it was last Friday, mentioned that they still intended on doing whatever they could to get Light back in the fold. So I think that it's going to come down to exactly what Andy said. I think someone's going to offer him a little bit more money, maybe a lot more money than the Patriots would be willing to give. And the only whatever the percentage is, if you want to say 80-20 that he's gone, the 20 would be just that Matt Light that much, that badly wants to remain a Patriot for the remainder of his career, and he stays for less. Other than that, I don't see him returning.
And we know that the Patriots have a history of wanting to cultivate players at that position that they already have, guys who've started out on the practice squad. Steve Neal's a perfect example of a guy who didn't even play football for his college career and then returned to it in the pros. The guys on the practice squad, Steve Mineri, Thomas Austin, tackle/tackle guard types, any idea whether the team might have an interest in maybe wanting to develop those guys a little further and the addition of Solder just being the final nail in the coffin?
It's hard to know exactly how far those guys have progressed, Austin and Mineri. I know Mineri was kind of similar to Solder coming out of college in that he played some tight end. Mm-hmm. It was
on the tall side.
Tall, right? And thin, and they needed to get him bulked up a little bit and stronger. And and that's what a year in the practice squad would do. Now, he wasn't the caliber of prospect that Solder is. Certainly not as far along in the process last year at this time as Solder comes into the league at. Mm-hmm. Austin, it's hard to know exactly how well he progressed on the practice squad last year. I will say that Bill Belichick, quite often, Andy, has sort of used some of those practice squad parts interchangeably.
Mm-hmm.
There's been guys that have come and gone off of that. Thomas Austin spent the entire year on the practice squad. That tells me that he has some value to them and that they like the progress that he and Mineri made there last year, and that's something to keep an eye on. We're going to have to find out at training camp when Andy Hart makes his expert offensive lineman
evaluation. The five-minute evaluation?
Yes, that's always right. That's how you end that sentence. That's always right.
That's how you end that sentence.
He's and not only Mr. Draft, he's Mr. Offensive Lineman.
Now, I know we sort of disregard this guy, but I don't think you can totally pass over Nick Kazier.
No.
Either
I think
due to
a good
contract
he'll start.
Or due to back. I have my concerns just because of the back issue, missing the entire year. There was also the issue that he could be facing, being a cap casualty, being mm-hmm. cut because he's making too much money. But I think there's also a chance he's healthy and they bring him back as a one-year holdover or one-year insurance policy. Mm-hmm. Maybe Solder still starts, but you want to have Kazier ready just in case. So I think that's a name you have to continue to talk about at tackle.
Health is also an issue, obviously, for Marcus.
Or guard, by the way.
Since right.
They were going to try him as the Mankins fill-in at guard last year for the day and a half before he broke his back.
Right.
And he didn't really break his back, people. Just, there was a back injury. I was just being funny.
Sure. Marcus Cannon.
Not really funny, though.
Because broken backs are absolutely hysterical.
Marcus Cannon dealing with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Speaking of hysterical.
At the moment. But also at that position where he was a tackle for most of his career, but now the speculation that he could swing over to guard.
A little shorter, a little fatter.
A little shorter, a lot fatter.
Kind of built like Paul.
that you knew.
Now, that really was funny. Humor.
Oh, really?
It's funnier than cancer.
But yes, I would agree with that. It's funnier than cancer, yes.
But with Mankins, obviously the highest profile of the O-line free agents that the team has, being the franchise player, give us a percentage in your mind whether or not he returns to the team, either it's whether it's for 1 year, part of the year, or for long term?
8.
97% that he plays at some point this year, 83% that he plays the bulk of the year, and 47% that he signs a long term deal before the season.
Okay.
Wow.
97, 83, and.
That's a much higher percentage on the long term deal that I would be willing
to. It could happen.
93, 97, 83, and 47.
You going to hold me to those?
I'm going to hold you to those. Paul?
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
I'm not.
You don't have to give specific numbers.
Yeah, not nearly as optimistic about the last one. The long-term deal, I think, is a very slim possibility, maybe 10-15% at most. I would say there's probably a 50-50 shot that he plays the whole year, and as opposed to sitting out some of the games early. But we talked about this on PFW in Progress. A lot more money at stake for Mankins this time around than last year.
Right.
As a franchise guy, about $10 million as opposed to one and change last year. So he lost 9 weeks of game checks or 8 weeks, whatever it was. I think he came back in week 9. So he lost half of that. That wasn't really all that significant of money. Well, now you're talking about $5 million. That is significant money. For a guy who's made somewhere in the neighborhood of $7 million in his career or something like that. You're talking about a significant chunk there. So I think there's a better than 50-50 shot that he plays the whole year, but I don't think there's a very good shot that he signs a long-term deal.
We know the Patriots like Dan Connolly. He produced when asked in Mankinstead last year as a starter. Before that, he fared pretty well as a reserve in a pinch.
And for Neil late.
And then he came back for Neil,
right. And as a kick returner.
Exactly. Steve Neil announced his retirement earlier this offseason. They like Ryan Wendell, who's one of those guys who was sort of a practice squad on
pipeline
and off.
Pipeline prospect out of Fresno. Pat Hill's boy.
Exactly. So do we think that this might be an area where if the Mankin situation remains uncertain that they try to go after somebody in free agency?
No.
They'll stick with what they have?
I mean, maybe a veteran, a body, but I don't think it would be a high priority. I think you look at the guys they could develop, the Ornbergers, the Wendells, even a Cannon, you know, late in the year if he can come back from the cancer issue. I think they have enough bodies there in-house and being added to the roster that I don't think it's a priority. I think it would be a low-level veteran minimum type guy. You know, the guys they usually sign and then retire 2 weeks later, maybe one of those. But other than that, I fall back with my praise of Dante Scarnecchia. I think he has enough chicken you-know-what right now to make some chicken salad if he has to.
Paul, do you think they're going to make any moves in free agency, either at tackle, guard, or even center? We don't really mention it that much because Dan Copen has been so solid over the years.
If Kasher is not a part of the plan, I could see them doing something at tackle, depending, again, on the development of these guys, where they think Solder is right now, what they think of Austin or Maneri or any of those guys. You know, I'm not sure if Ojanaka is part of the plan coming back or whatever, but I agree with Andy on guard. I think more than likely you have Mankins and Connolly as your starters. You have Ryan Wendell, who started a bit last year, played some for you last year, and you also have a guy in Rich Ornberger who will be going into his third year now in the program. He should be at the point where he's able to contribute as, you know, a backup interior lineman there. Now,
I mean, the guy can hurdle chairs in the locker room when running to the training.
Right.
It's pretty impressive.
Why can't I be
him and Turk Wendell have some great Olympiads in the locker room.
Very childish-like.
I think those four guys should be able to get you by at guard without having to sign anybody.
All right. Well, that's a pretty,
already?
That's a that pretty flew. In-depth look at the offensive line. Next week, we'll take a look at the cornerbacks, defensive backs, given Rasai Dowling's position as the second draft pick by New England in this year's draft. And, of course, our friend Malcolm Williams, the backup defensive back.
I'll take a vacation day next Friday.
I'll be taking a nap. I might host next week, people, so you got that to look forward
to. Oh, yes, because Andy never goes on long-winded intros in his podcast.
Yeah, but in his defense, he usually entertains me when doing so.
That's a good point, Paul.
Not NPR over here going long.
All right.
Pauses.
Well, enjoy Mother's Day weekend.
Tackles.
I got a couple of mothers here who I have to deal with, so we'll see you next week.
Peace out.